Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
All right, I'm here. My name's Gary Parish. I'm talking to you from 54th and Broadway, Midtown Manhattan, New York City. Brad Carson in studio back in Memphis producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles. No disruptions. And I hope you're not a football player in the Alliance of American Football who was hoping to get paid on time last week, because reportedly that didn't happen for everybody. Why it didn't happen for everybody is up for debate. Walk you through some interesting stories with our professional football league that has a franchise in Memphis that struggles to score points and win games, but still, it's our football franchise in Memphis. We're going to talk about that. I'll walk you through every bit of it momentarily. First, though, real quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 420 Keith Easterwood is my local basketball expert. He's your local basketball expert. He is the nation's leading authority. Hobo's Hero Street Corner Clowns. No Sam Sausagehead on a personal level. He's going to be here in about 20 minutes. I'll chop it up with the legend Keith Easterwood right around 420. When I finish that segment, I'm going to do four notable stories at 444, at which point I'm going to discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Manny Machado has agreed to the richest contract in American professional sports history. 10 years, $300 million with the San Diego Padres. We'll talk about that around 444. Antonio Brown tweeted earlier today that he met with Steelers president Art Rooney and that both agreed it's time to move on. So one of the world's best receivers, if not the world's best receiver, is going to be catching balls for a new NFL team next season. He also wants people, take note of this, Cowboy Carson, he also wants people to start calling him Mr. Big Chest.
Mr. Big Chest. Interesting.
Mr. Big Chest. Yeah. No longer wants to be nicknamed AB. He now wants to be known as Mr. Big Chest.
I actually think I need to break some news here. I probably shouldn't be Cowboy Carson anymore.
What do you want to be?
Brad Carson. I'm not on the country station anymore.
That doesn't matter to me. That never mattered to me.
It matters to me, though. I want to be authentic. I want to be true to myself. So
you, make you want to be authentic. Yeah. You don't even use your real name. What do you mean you want to be authentic?
I want to be authentic to my character.
People, we've talked about it before. Your last name's not even Carson.
No, of course not. It's not.
Now you decided you want to be authentic?
No, I want to be Brad Carson.
You can be Cowboy Carson or Mr. Big Chest. I'll let you pick.
I'll go with Mr. Big Chest.
Okay, Mr. Big Chest. You and Antonio Brown can both be Mr. Big Chest. We'll get into the Antonio Brown story just before 5 o'clock. Carl Morrell is the father of a basketball prospect. He was on with Jason and John earlier today, said, among other things, that getting his son out of Memphis is going to be tough. So that's a top 85 prospect class of 2020 that will likely eventually enroll in Memphis. We'll talk about that a little later on this hour. In Tennessee, going to be back on the court tonight for the first time since getting destroyed at Kentucky. The Vols are hosting Vanderbilt, 18-point favorite, so they should improve to 24-2 later on tonight. We'll talk about that during four notable stories at 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Caucus, just like always. Then we're going to eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. Got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with the Alliance of American Football, because there was a report late last night from The Athletic that the AAF was having financial troubles already, evidence being that some players weren't paid on time last week. Here's how the story started. On February 9th, the Alliance of American Football had a successful debut, drawing about 3.25 million viewers on CBS, a number that surprisingly exceeded those from a prominent NBA game being played at the same time. Less than a week later, multiple sources told The Athletic, the new league's existence was in jeopardy. According to sources, there was one enormous problem, one that became obvious even before the AAF's second weekend of games. The league was running short on cash and quickly, and without new investors, there was a good chance it was going to miss payroll last Friday. Quote, without a new nine-figure investor, nobody is sure what would have happened, one source said. You can always tell people their checks are going to be a little late, but how many are going to show up on the weekend for games when they don't see anything hit their bank accounts on Friday? End quote. The Athletic went on to report that the Carolina Hurricanes owner, Tom Dundon, was going to invest $250 million in the league to keep it afloat. And then right on cue, earlier today, the league subsequently announced that Tom Dundon did indeed invest $250 million. But the league denied it was ever in financial trouble. What they insist is that this was a prearranged agreement and nothing close to a bailout. They said the late checks and Dundon's investment are totally unrelated things. They blame the late checks on a payroll glitch. What they say is that they switched payroll companies late January, early February, and it caused a delay. But every player was made aware of the issue in advance, and every player has been paid. So you tell me, Brad Carson slash Mr. Big Chest, do you believe the Athletic or the Alliance of American Football? Who's telling the truth here?
I think they are. I don't think they're related. I will take what the AAF is saying at face value. However, that doesn't make me believe that they did or did not have the money to pay the players. In other words, I think they were trying. I don't want to project here, but my and listening to you tell the story there, the report. It would seem to me like some businesses, especially startups, you just pray that some results come your way in week one, aka the TV ratings, and then you get big bucks investor guy to invest. I think that I'll just take their word for it on the other part of the story. So
I think you and I are on the same page here.
Yeah.
I actually believe the Alliance of American Football, if only because the other version.
Right.
Does it make any sense?
No.
If you listened to me with Jeff earlier today, we were talking about this. And the one question, whether it was Jeff asking the question or Jeffrey asking the question or me asking the question, was how do you run out of money after 1 week?
Right.
Like, think of it on a normal person level. People get in over their heads financially all the time. It's the American way.
Right.
People buy houses they can't afford. People buy cars they can't afford.
Yes.
People put things on credit cards that they can't afford. If I'm not describing you, I'm describing somebody you know. I'm describing somebody in your family. I'm describing your neighbors. It is a very common thing
in
America. But you don't usually buy a car you can't afford to make the first payment on.
Right.
Like, imagine going out and getting a Mercedes. You say, okay, I'm going to get a Mercedes.
Yep.
And then, like, they say, okay, and your first payment is going to be due on March 1st.
Mm-hmm.
If you would know by today if you're going to be able to make that payment on March 1st or not.
Right.
So, like, you wouldn't buy a Mercedes today. First payment's due on March 1st, and you go, oh, my God. I don't know how I'm going to make this first payment. It's the eighth payment that gets you.
Yeah.
Or the 18th or the 48th. You know, because your circumstances can change. Sometimes it's your fault. You mess up, lose a job. Mm-hmm. You mess up, get yourself in over your head. Sometimes it's not your fault. It's a government shutdown that affects you, or it's a downsizing in at your company.
Yeah.
It's layoffs. People, you know, again, if I'm not describing you, I'm describing somebody you know, somebody in your family, your neighbor, somebody. People go through this every day. But either way, it's very common for folks to get to a point where you go, when I planned to have this home or have this car or have this thing, it was all rooted in sensible stuff, or at least I could make sense of it myself, even if a financial advisor would advise me to not do what it is I was about to do. I in my own head, I knew how I was going to get this thing done. And then things changed, or maybe I miscalculated or whatever, but now I've had this vehicle for 2 years. I can't afford it anymore. Or I've had this house for 3 years or 13 years, and I don't know how I'm going to make my next house payment. But it wouldn't get to a point where you don't know how to make the first payment.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
And same thing with the Alliance of American Football. I could certainly see how, despite all the smart planning, that they might find themselves after a year or 3 years, you know, in real financial trouble. You know, hey, we were hoping the television ratings would be something. There's something less than that. The advertising revenue, you know, the revenue stream that we thought that would be isn't there right now.
Right.
Or we were planning to draw 25,000 people to games. We're really only drawing 7,000 people to games. That revenue stream that we thought was going to be there is not there. Now we've got money problems. But the best I can tell, there's literally nothing that could have happened in week one that would put them in a place where they might not be able to pay people for week two. Like, these are smart people running this league. And it doesn't mean that smart people are immune to failing in business, and that's really what this is, because smart people fail in business all the time. But you wouldn't open a restaurant and then shut it 4 days later.
Right.
I mean, that's essentially what the report was from The Athletic. Like, they opened a restaurant, and after week one, they were going to have to close the restaurant. Like, that's not the way stuff works. And so I was skeptical of the report, if only because it just didn't make any sense to me. What could have possibly happened in week one that put it in a place where it didn't have money to do what it was always going to have to do, which is pay people for week two? Like, what? I know attendance might not have met the baseline they wanted it to meet, but not to the degree that, oh my God, we don't have any cash now. There is no way people this smart designed a league that could fail and be,
you know, be 100%. Right.
Out of cash within a week. So the report didn't make any sense. Either way, the part of the report that was undeniably true is that Tom Dundon has invested $250 million in this thing. And so regardless of whether you believe the report or not, that cash problem, because it's a cash investment, that cash problem is now solved. Charlie Ebersaw talked to the Orlando Sentinel about this earlier today. Here's what he said. He said, after the success of the first week, we had a number of investors come to us and offer us all kinds of different investments. Tom Dundon showed up and said, do you want to continue to raise Series B, Series C, and Series D, or do you want to raise Series Infinity right now and be taken care of right now? Charlie said, that's an offer that I just could not refuse. A legitimate businessman offering $250 million cash to be an investor. That's what happened. And Ebersol went on to explain it has nothing to do with the report in The Athletic. These two things aren't tied together, and one of the things isn't even real. We weren't cash strapped. We weren't in a position where we weren't going to be able to pay players. We simply had a payroll glitch because we skipped payroll companies. I'll take him at his word, if only because that sounds more believable than the alternative. Either way, I talked to Jeff about this morning, and one of the points I had made when talking about the long-term success or failure of this league, the success is not trying to be anything other than a developmental tool for the NFL in hopes that the NFL will one day buy the league. That's the plan. The plan isn't trying to rival the NFL. It's why they're not going heads up against the NFL. They're built around the NFL schedule intentionally. Other minor league football or alternative football leagues in our country's history have actually tried to be comparable with the NFL, a competitor with the NFL. The Alliance of American Football, to their credit, wisely, never talked about themselves that way, didn't try to position themselves that way. They don't want to be anything other than an alternative football league, a lesser football league to the NFL, in hopes that there's a market for football 12 months a year, as opposed to just in the NFL calendar. And then one day, the NFL will see it as a great developmental tool, as a great place to scout and evaluate players, and the NFL will just gobble it up. That's the goal. And I think that is, I don't know about the likely scenario, but it's certainly a possible scenario. So I do think this thing's going to work in the ways that it is designed to work, to be a developmental tool for the NFL that also works from a television ratings perspective. I predicted this when the league was announced. I thought it would work on TV because you'll get enough people to watch professional football on TV, because they can gamble on it and fantasy football and all that stuff. I was less optimistic about how it would look in the stadium. In fact, I said the soccer games at AutoZone Park, obviously television won't be involved there,
right?
Not to a national level at least, but it'll look great inside AutoZone Park.
Yeah.
People are going to go to that.
Sure.
The Alliance of American Football, Memphis Express, that's going to be on TV. Mm-hmm. and people around the country will watch it, but I don't know that people in Memphis are going to go to it. Yeah. And I know we just had one home game and the weather was bad and it was cold, but there weren't any, nobody was there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that that's a big problem, but it is, it's an obvious issue. And so I was thinking earlier, like, if you are running the Alliance of American Football, how could you make this interesting television product that has created a lot of momentum from a television perspective and on social media? I don't know how many people were inside Liberty Bowl on Saturday, but a whole bunch of people were tweeting about the Memphis Express. It had a social media presence, and the league has had a social media presence nationally since it launched a few weeks ago. But how do you make it work in the markets in which there are franchises? How do you get people to go to the games? And I wondered, and this sort of runs counter to the conventional way of thinking, but I wonder, rather than putting these teams in markets like Atlanta, like Orlando, like Memphis, where there are major league sports franchises there already, like Orlando has the Magic.
Yeah, right.
Atlanta has everything. Memphis has the Grizzlies. Because I think it's rather than putting them in those markets,
right,
why not put them in markets, almost regardless of television market size, mm-hmm, put them in markets where they're the biggest thing there?
Yes.
I wonder if that would work. You don't have to agree with me just to do it. I'm totally spitballing.
No, I like the spitballing out here. I think you're onto something.
But because I think it's hard to sell minor league sports in cities that have major league stuff.
Right.
Because it feels very minor league. Why would I, you know, we play in a basketball league with the Golden State Warriors and the L.A. Lakers and the Boston Celtics. Why do I care about minor league basketball or, by extension, minor league football?
Right.
But if you put it in markets where it was something a community could say, this is our best thing. Like, we don't have the NBA.
No.
We don't have Major League Baseball. We don't have the NFL. We don't have the NHL. We don't have Major League Soccer.
Yeah.
So this is our best thing. The best professional thing we have in our market is the Alliance of American Football. If that were true with all eight franchises, that it was the biggest thing in its market, regardless of television market size, I wonder if it wouldn't be better served. Because I do feel like, again, there's evidence already. This is going to work from a television perspective, but I don't think it works from a television perspective because of the markets that it's in. In other words, the Grizzlies good television ratings in Memphis because it's the Memphis Grizzlies. In local markets, you know, baseball markets especially, do tremendous television ratings in the local markets. Doesn't really resonate nationally, but in the markets, you know, the Cardinals are big in St. Louis. The Padres are big in San Diego. The Pirates are big in Pittsburgh. I wonder if the Alliance of American Football might work just the opposite way. It doesn't matter, I don't think, any more in the market than it matters nationally.
Right.
To the extent that people are watching the Alliance of American Football, I don't think it's Atlanta natives watching the Atlanta franchise as much as it's just football fans watching the game that's on. I don't think it's Memphians watching the Memphis franchise as much as it's just people around the country watching the game that's on. And so I wonder if that's not the tinkering with that this league needs to be able to resonate in whatever markets it chooses to have franchises in. Put it in markets where the community is built to embrace it and appreciate it for what it is, instead of in markets that have major league stuff and you're trying to convince people to attach themselves, their emotions, their financial investments into a minor league thing, because I think that's a much, much tougher sell. Obviously, I'll let the smart people who run the league figure all that out, but I would assume that if you don't see this taking hold in individual markets, the next move will be to move them different markets.
Yeah.
And I'd probably look at not trying to put another professional sports franchise in New York or L.A. or Chicago. I might look for markets where people would be excited about having this new thing that is on national television, as opposed to just having an 11th thing or another thing that's less than the other things they already have. We'll see. I might talk to Jeff about that a little later on, but when we come back, he's my local basketball expert. He's your local basketball expert. Legend Keith Easterwood up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show. Live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This ain't a wave or a phase, cause all that fades. This lifestyle's forever when you made. They tweet about the...
Manny Machado has agreed to the richest professional sports franchise contract in American history earlier today. He did that 10 years, $300 million with the San Diego Padres. So getting paid $300 million to live in San Diego, there are probably worse ways to spend your life. We'll talk about that in the next segment. Jeff Calkins is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, he is my local basketball expert. He's your local basketball expert. Nation's leading authority, hobos, heroes, street corner clowns. He's got a personal relationship with Sam Sausagehead. It's the legend Keith Easterwood making the big interview.
The big interview, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. It's the one and only Keith Easterwood.
Hey, Brad.
Yep.
Die, Brad, die.
Local basketball expert, talking hobos, heroes, and street corner clowns on 92.9's Gary Parrish Show.
Easterwood, what's up with it?
That die shit just tickles people, don't it? Don't it? I don't know what it is. I turned to a guy the other day at work. He was pissing me off. I said, hey, man, why don't you go somewhere and die? And the whole room just erupted. So, anyway, Manny Machado got colluded on. The AAF is already running out of money, missing payroll. What is going on in the world?
Now, in fairness to the AAF, they deny that they're running low on money or that they ever were. They say it was simply a payroll glitch. I think they're
you're right.
How would I know for certain? But it just seems very difficult to run out of cash after only 1 week when you've been preparing for this long. I believe them. I think I believe that it was a payroll glitch and everything's cool as cool. Either way, Carolina Hurricanes owner threw $250 million at them, cash investment. So if they were actually having cash problems, those cash problems were solved. Same thing for Manny Machado. If he was having cash problems, his cash problems are also solved.
Yeah, he's good. And they were, well, you know, they were talking about colluding, not giving long contracts like they did before to 10 years, but obviously some of that's going to change. So we leave tonight for Atlanta, be in Vegas for 3 days. Looking forward to that. So, and it's supposed to snow tomorrow out there. What the hell?
It's supposed to snow in Vegas?
That's what the weather, they keep going back and forth on the weather app. If you look at it, yeah, it snowed 2 inches yesterday. So they've got some type of weird front coming off the ocean, which we're getting hit with heavy rain now, but that's coming from the south. So I don't know. We're going to go out there and have a ball no matter what. I got 15 sealed Denafields, and so we ain't looking back.
15?
Yeah, here's what happened. When I got sick, they didn't want to keep putting different medications in my body. So they tried to eliminate them. So when I was getting my physical, I said, hey, I need some sildenafil. She said, no, can't do that. And so what I figured out, I shouldn't say this, what I figured out is if I call after hours and a different doctor is on staff, they just read my chart. So they actually gave me 20, but I've got it whittled down to 15 right now. But yeah, so we're going to have a good time.
It sounds like you're going to have a good time. Do you really need to take all 15?
Oh, no. Oh, hell no. Two or three, you'd be fine, shoot.
No. I mean, like, how many do you plan on using in Las Vegas?
Probably 10.
10? Woo!
Wow.
You're going to get after it.
I'd be 59 Saturday. I need some help.
No. Hey, ain't nothing wrong with needing help. I'm just saying that's a lot of, if you don't mind me putting it so plainly, that's a lot
no,
of
go ahead.
That's a lot of sex.
It's a lot of heart. It's a lot of heart medication.
No. But it affects you differently. So you could take it now. It might not kick in till tonight. You know what I'm saying? So I may have to jump start a little bit, and then I'll be drinking. Alcohol has a weird effect on you, and we'll be gambling and eating. And so the plan would be, sometime we land early tomorrow in Vegas. We got some things planned. We want to go do and all that. And so I'll probably take a couple of them and see what happens, and then if it don't work, I'll take another one and see what happens. That way I'll be ready for Wednesday night, if that makes sense.
Now, you can't take them before you get on the plane, can you? Because, like, that could cause, like, plane issues, right?
No, hell no, I wouldn't take them on no planes. No, because it and I think I told this, I was going to a doctor in South Haven years ago, and you leave, you know, and he's running around with the laptop and all that. He was high tech, and he's like, would you like to try some samples of Viagra? And I'm like, you know, your testosterone, this is like 12 years ago. No, I don't want none of that. Well, when the nurse came in, now my mind is racing. I'm like, shit, that might be a nice little tool to have. And so I got samples. Then when I came here, the lady that I was seeing gave me samples. But then I did some research because if you were to buy, which my wife's old insurance paid for the Viagra, if you can believe that. And I don't know how the hell we got to talk of this. And so, and then when she changed, it wouldn't cover it. And so, like, a pill of Viagra is $30. So I did some homework, and, like, a sildenafil is like a dollar and a quarter. So it's the same thing. So some kind of way, I got a script for 60 the first time. And but I would only go get, like, 10 at a time. So anyway, make a long story short now, they're real careful with the medication I take right now. And so one night I was like, you know what? I'm about tired of this. So I called on a whim, said, hey, Keith Eastwood, a patient of Dr. So-and-so, and, you know, you tell the nurse what you're looking for. Next thing you know, CVS calls and says, your prescription's ready. I'm like, so I figured out a way to circumvent my doctor.
I think that's maybe improper on some level, but I can appreciate the commitment to trying to do whatever it is you're trying to do. Sometimes you got to work around whatever obstacles are in front of you, and
yep.
That seems to be what you've done. I'm talking to Keith Eastwood here. He is my local basketball expert, my local Viagra expert on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Sildenafil, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And so, Gary, you're 59. I mean, I'm sick. You know, last week I was on the phone with you guys. I'm like, hell, I can't breathe. Now, that's happening. I was on the phone with Tony Harris not too long ago, and it just hit. So I've had that happen to me like three times, and then you're puking and all that. So, hell, I mean, you got to have some joy in life.
You do have to have some joy in life. We can agree on that, no question. And, like, even if you don't need them, why wouldn't you want them? It'd be like why wouldn't you put pine tar on your bat? You know, you might not
right.
need pine tar, but it makes you it's an advantage.
Don't put pine tar on it though.
Don't put pine tar on your penis.
Boy,
I'm not
rough.
Suggesting that.
That's a rough
don't
torque
take the
there.
Analogy that far. But if I told you, like, just think about it in sports. Hey, man, you run really fast, but you could run faster if you took this pill. Why wouldn't you
right.
take the pill? Right, Easterwood?
Well, yeah, that's what guys do. That's why they took steroids and hit home runs, and Barry Bonds' head swelled up like a basketball and all that good stuff, and Sammy Sosa is white now. I don't know what the hell that's all about. Yeah, so I think people are looking – you know, especially in sports, you know this, they look for an advantage. I had a lady years ago in Orlando. I think we finished. Actually, Lance Stevenson and the little guard that went to Florida, you may remember his name, I don't. So Lance is 14 playing in a 12-and-under tournament. It's a true story. And they beat us to get to the Final Four, but there was a lady, when I would take the kids back to the locker room and give them my coach's pep talk, I would leave them. And she was giving them liquid steroids. And so, yeah, and I didn't know it. And we played lights out. We finished fifth in the nation. But on the way home, I had like half the team in a van with me, and I kept having to pull over because they were throwing up. And as I did my homework, I guess they were coming, withdrawals from steroids. You know, and she ran a gymnastics academy in Memphis. She may still do it. And so I cut her kid the next year because I just couldn't put up with that. But I asked my son, I said, what were y'all doing? He said she just started from day one and had a little dropper and would drop steroids in her mouth. And like I say, I noticed, damn, these little boogers are hyped. And but when we got through playing, like I say, on the way home, almost every kid at one point had to pull over and throw up. And I'm trying to figure this out. And then they started telling me, I don't want to say her name, that she was giving them steroids. Over the years, I've had parents do all the type of vile stuff. And so, I mean, one night in Orlando, a guy put some type of laxative in our water cooler. So over the years, you just see stuff. I'm about sick of it. And But people do weird stuff. One night in Memphis at the Nationals when Bobby Parks Jr. and Anthony Douglas' son, and I can't remember, there was like three ex-Tigers kids on the team. A team from Pennsylvania who they couldn't have beat us on a bet. The guy had pricked, I don't know how many kids' fingers, and we had white uniforms. So all of a sudden, all my kids have got red dots, which at the time people were really concerned about blood and contamination and all that. So finally, I'm telling the referee, every kid on my team can't be bleeding. And so, you know, and so people just do trifling stuff, and that's what it's all about. And but he did that. He did that to get an advantage. So what we did, midway through the first quarter, we took the white jerseys off, put our blue jerseys on. You know, I cussed him out real good, and we only beat your ass by put a 30-piece on them. So, yeah, over the years, you just see AAU basketball, for people who are not hip to it, is almost outlawish basketball. So you really got to man up, bow up. There's really not, you know, especially when you don't play AAU basketball, play private tournaments, you hear about fights and all that. There's no retribution because you're not ever coming back to that tournament again. So if you go and do it, just be prepared to probably see the worst in human behavior.
Talking to Keithy's party here on 92.9 FM.
No, seriously, ESPN. I've seen people go get guns and knock people out in parking lots, fights. I actually resigned from my 11-year team. I'm not feeling like doing it. But I told the guy, I said, you know what, I gave my life to other people's kids for 35 years because we hadn't even practiced yet. And I got a daddy calling, bitching about when practice is. I got a lady calling, telling me how good her kid is when she rebounds for him in the driveway. And I'm like, well, you're going to rebound for him in the game. So my patience is not as good. And so I just told him, you know what, y'all go do this without me, and I'll do what I do. I'm going to help run some tournaments here for him.
We're talking to Keith Eastwood here at 92.9 FM ESPN. I've told this story before, but several years ago out in Vegas, when Derrick Rose and Eric Gordon were on the same team, they were playing in Sonny's event out in Las Vegas, and the game was supposed to start at maybe, I don't know, 1. I probably got there at like 1:30. I was running behind. I sit down next to one of the Memphis assistants at the time. We'll just keep it vague. And at the time, Reggie Rose was coaching Derrick Rose's team, Derrick's right. older brother. And the way that was, for the same reasons that Marvin Bagley's dad, you know, ran Marvin Bagley's team, and Zion Williamson's stepfather ran Zion's team, it's a way to funnel money to a family member. You know, Nike says, we're going to fund your team, and you know, Zion Williamson's stepdad can run the team. And so he sets up a nonprofit, you know, to make it all legal. And then Nike, I'm not saying they did this. I'm just saying this is the type of thing they can do. And I'm
it's the legal and easiest way to do it, to funnel
it's,
money.
It's a legal way to funnel money. Because right. the NCAA cannot tell Nike not to fund basketball teams. It's partners in many ways with Nike. And so what you'll often see is the father or the older brother or the guardian, somebody with influence over a star player, is running the grassroots basketball program. And like we've talked about before, so let's say it really takes. Let's say if you're going to take an AAU program and run it from the spring through the end of the summer, and you're going to, you know, fly to events and have hotels for every player and, you know, vans and meals. Let's say the cost for doing that, I'm not sure what it is, but let's just say it's $50,000.
At a minimum.
Yeah, okay. But just for the sake of the conversation, we're going to call it $50,000. That's what it costs to do this. There's nothing preventing Nike from funding the program at a rate of $200,000. And then the person who's in control of that money has access to that money. And it's why it's not an accident that it's usually somebody connected to Zion Williamson or Marvin Bagley or, in this case, Derrick Rose. Reggie Rose was running the program. And so I get there, and Reggie's not on the sideline. It's noticeable that he's not coaching anymore. So I said, yo, where's Reggie at? I asked one of the Memphis coaches at the time. And they said he got kicked out. I said, got kicked out of an AAU game? For what? And he said the ref made a call, and Reggie told him he was going to go to his car and get his gun and shoot him.
Oh, jeez.
And I was like, gee. I said, Jesus.
That's rough.
And the coach looked at me, and he said, I mean, it was a bad call. I said, okay. So, yeah, you run into those things sometimes.
Hey, back in the day when I first got into this with Sonny, and I was good at it, Garrett, you know this. So I'm negotiating with Mark Kamara, who had Marvin Stone, and Myron Piggy, who had Maggette, the Young Brothers. And Myron Piggy knew a guy whose family owned Children's Mercy Hospital in Kansas City, and he had a private plane. They gave him a quarter meal, and in the negotiation back and forth, I just set the table. But the Sonny went in to see him in Kansas City with Chris Rivers. Ravling went in to see him. He ultimately signed the program with Nike, so now he's getting more. And I can't remember the guy's name who had the hospital and all that. But and then Piggy would go on Saturdays and Sundays and sell damn Nikes on the corner.
Right.
I think he's still serving time. We were in Dominican Republic about 2 years ago, and the guy out of Kansas City had on a Royal hat. And I said, "Hey, man, what's up with Myron Piggy?" He said, "Hell, he's still in jail." And so, you know, those – I'm not saying those type people because, hell, I was involved in it too and did some shyster shit. But summer basketball, like you say, can attract different people. That's why I don't get what went on with these guys who are going to jail and with Jim Gatto and all that, because they could have done that in a much smarter, easier, and legal manner. Is just, hey, you know, Brad's kid's a big-time player. Let's sign Brad, make him a consultant, and let him set up a nonprofit, and we'll funnel him as much money as we want. It's nobody's business. And so that's why that really perplexed me. And unfortunately, I think if not most, if not all those guys are going to spend some time in jail.
Right. And by the way, like, this is how you never can get the cheating out of the sport, because think about it from these terms. Let's say, you mentioned Myron Piggy, but there's a million people out there like Myron Piggy who are
right.
running grassroots basketball programs. So let's say you're running the Mac Irvin Fire.
Okay, right.
That's your job. Like that, like my job is to work for CBS and 92.9. Your job is to work your job. These people who run these grassroots programs, it is largely the big ones. It's what they do 12 months a year. It's how they pay for their homes, how they pay for their vehicles, how they put their kids through school. It is their job, just like the construction workers I'm looking out working on this building right now. That's their job. So think of it like this. Your job is to run a grassroots basketball program. And the reason you are paid six figures to do it is because you routinely have some of the best basketball prospects in America to showcase
right.
at these Nike events. So you have a real, actual incentive to go out and do what? Make sure you have the
you
best players year after year after year.
You're hustling players.
You're doing what?
Yes.
You're cutting whatever deals you have to cut. You're compromising people's amateur status in not insignificant ways, because the only way you can keep getting the money from Nike or Adidas or Under Armour is to continue to have your hands on the best prospects. So you're going to do whatever you got to do to get the best prospects. And then the colleges are going to do whatever they got to do to get the best prospects. And it's just a cycle that never, ever stops.
No, it's not going to. You mentioned people having teams and bagging them. Brandon Wright, years ago, they came in because he was in that class with Willie and Pierre and Wayne and all those guys. And so they came in and actually practiced with us. But the guy that was, I don't know who he was, uncle, cousin, or hobo, hero, street corner clown. So they leave. And he calls and says, "Okay, here's the deal. We'll play, but I'm going to coach the team. You can kick rocks." Well, that didn't obviously happen. And then because Brandon was thought so highly of, Nike subsequently gave him a 3-year deal for the 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade years. So, yeah, it happens all the time. Look, if I was running with Nike, Adidas, and I wanted somebody, I'm going to get them. Sonny's motto was always, ultimately a person's greed will win out. And when you're involved in that and there's that much money involved and you don't understand, I don't think nobody really gets the amount of product. I had a 2-car garage in Bartlett. We quit putting cars in because at one time my inventory had 500 pair of shoes, and I can't tell you how many bags and backpacks and socks and warm-ups and all that. So, again, if you're chasing it and you take a day off, somebody's going to get in. And now with cell phones and social media, it's easier to get to a kid, where back in the day, I think some of us had a little bit of pride where you initially went through the high school coach, and then you tried to get a contact with the parents, usually at a high school game, and then ultimately with the kid, unless you had coached him when he was younger. But those days are gone now. So now you got people contacting your children, and you don't even know who they are. And then if you're playing for team, whatever, you'll see it, Gary, starting in April. they'll start. Some guys will play with five teams during the course of a summer. I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong or whatever. I think that's where the NCAA could step in and say, once you play in a live period in April, any subsequent live periods, you have to stay with that same team. That'll stop some of it, but I just don't think they'll ever do it.
That is the legend, Keith Easterwood, here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He's my local basketball expert, your local basketball expert, nation's leading authority, Hobo's Hero, Street Corner Clowns. He knows Sam Sausage. Easterwood, have a good time in Las Vegas. I know you will.
Yeah, hey, Brad.
Yes.
You can talk every now and then. People made fun of you on a message board the other day that you didn't talk when I was on.
Oh, man, I don't read the message board. I don't know.
But you can talk when I'm here. I mean, you make me feel bad.
No, I...
You scared to talk when Easterwood's on?
No, I enjoy listening to you and Gary talk. This is y'all's segment.
Okay. Love you guys.
I love you, Keith.
All right, Easterwood. I'll see
Thank
you.
Buddy.
Bye-bye. Have fun in
Be
Las
safe.
Vegas.
Bring them pills.
My man's taking 15 Viagras with
him. He's getting after it with them, those Woody pills. Yeah.
The three, what'd you call them?
Woody pills.
Woody pills?
Yeah.
If you were going to Vegas, how many pills do you think you'd take with you, bro?
You know,
three day trip.
Man, you need a lot for Las Vegas. You get into it.
Do you?
3 day trip? What do you do? Yeah.
How many would Cowboy Carson / Mr. Big Chest take to Las Vegas if he was going to Las Vegas for 3 days?
See, when I lived in Las Vegas, I was young and much more vital than my older self. So you
were a better performer when you were young than you are today. You're a mediocre performer today. You think?
Isn't everybody?
I don't know. I don't really talk to people about this that often.
I don't know.
You think you're mediocre? You think you've fallen off a little bit?
I think my game's really good. I'd say.
You think you're a good performer?
Sure.
Do you? Why do you think that? Who told you that?
My bride.
She actually has verbally said that to you.
Of course.
Like, you know what, Mr. Big Chest? You're a great performer. She's told you that?
Well, yeah. Doesn't yours tell you that?
No.
Oh.
I'm terrible.
No, I bet you're good.
No, she's
awful. She's not telling
the truth.
Anybody would
ever have sex with me. I swear to God, I still to this day don't understand why anybody's ever had sex with me.
Well, maybe she loves you.
Yeah, but that seems like it should take more than that, you know?
Love? More than love?
Yeah.
Love is a wonderful thing, man.
So Cowboy Carson has identified himself as a great performer.
I have not identified myself. You asked me to rank myself, and I'm just ranking myself. I can't hold it against any bars. I mean, this is a private thing, you know?
You think you're a better performer than Easterwood?
Oh, no. I bet Easterwood. He's slamming down a lot of pills. He's going heavy. I don't think so. No, I don't think many of us could compete with Mr. Easterwood.
We probably should move on. Talk about Manny Machado's contract.
Let's do
we'll
it.
Be back. Four notable stories next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
So there's a guy named Jeremy. He was married, had a wife, and they had children, and they wanted to move to a part of the area that had a better school district. So they needed to sell their home. They had tried with another agent, didn't work. They finally get in touch with Josh Heisaw. He got multiple offers, and the home sold for its listed price in just a matter of days. Josh did it with his 45-day guarantee plan. It's a system for selling homes that creates more demand and gets homes sold faster and for more money than the average agent. what Josh Hysall does is help you price your home in a way that makes it attractive to buyers. You guys agree on a price, Josh goes to work, and then if your home isn't sold in 45 days at that agreed-upon price, Josh will step in and make the mortgage payments until it sells, or he'll simply buy the home from you. You pick. Totally up to you, and it's a risk-free proposition. Working with Josh doesn't obligate you to anything. If he isn't doing his job, in your opinion, you can fire him, no questions asked. He has flexible fees, and there are no upfront costs. So if you're trying to sell a home, use the real estate agent I'd use if I wanted to sell my home. It's Josh Hysall, 461-8147, 461-8147. He's on the web, joshsellsthemidsouth.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It feels so good as your cuffs. Jeff Calkins is your award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show. He's going to be with me a little after 5 o'clock. We'll get back into that Alliance of American Football story. Were they having cash problems or not? I'm going to talk to Calkins a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Baseball news from earlier today. Manny Machado, who is right there with Bryce Harper as the biggest free agent available in Major League Baseball, is a free agent no more. He has reportedly agreed to a 10-year $300 million contract with the San Diego Padres. It is the richest contract in American professional sports history. And it's obviously a massive number, and it is undeniable that usually these contracts do not work in the franchise's favor. But I saw Arash Makazi on Twitter earlier today. He lives in Southern California. He said Padres fans were calling into like San Diego Sports Talk Radio and like actually crying on the phone. Like,
wow.
You know, they are fired up about this. And I think from a fan's perspective, this would certainly be my perspective. Like, it ain't my money. You know, there's not a hard salary cap in Major League Baseball, and it's not my money. So why do I care if Manny Machado's overpaid? I just want Manny Machado to hit in the middle of my favorite team's lineup. And I think that's probably what most Padres fans subscribe to. But Joe Sheehan, who is an accomplished baseball writer, tweeted the following earlier today, and I thought this was interesting. He said, of the nine 200 million and up contracts that have been signed in Major League Baseball history, six were by teams that missed the playoffs the previous year, five by teams coming off of sub-500 seasons, and three by small market teams. In other words, the point he's making, he says, great teams do not drive the free agent market. Aspirational, actually trying ones do. And I think, you know, in other words, like the great franchises that are already great, they don't usually do things like this. It's the Padres who do something like this. Like, we're trying to get somewhere to generate interest, to try to take our franchise to another level. Famously, the Cardinals, a few years ago,
walked from Pujols. Walk. Yeah.
It's the smartest thing they did.
It was brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, the Angel, like, he's on a bad contract now.
Totally.
And I would imagine at some point, and it could happen quickly, people will look up, and anytime Manny Machado's being anything other than sensational, he'll be the guy who's making $30 million a year for the next decade. And who in the world thought it was smart to give him that contract? But, you know, from the Padres' perspective, like, it does make some sense because people are fired up, and now there's at least a chance they can compete in the NL West. From Machado's perspective, you're going to make $300 million living in San Diego. Like, there are worse ways to spend your life, so congrats to him.
Story number two.
Antonio Brown, a Steelers star receiver, tweeted earlier today that he had met with Art Rooney, president of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that they both agreed, after a nice, cordial, enjoyable conversation, that it is time to move on. And so the Steelers are going to actively try to trade Antonio Brown, and he jumped on social media and while on a treadmill earlier today, said all sorts of things, but basically said the only thing in his career that's missing is a Super Bowl. And so if you've got a team that's ready to try to go to a Super Bowl, that's the kind of team that interests him. Pick up the phone and call the Steelers. And so the market for him seems to be, at least what I'm reading, like maybe a second-round pick can get that done. You won't have to give up something crazy to get Antonio Brown. At least that's what most NFL reporters seem to think right now, because the market for him, even though he is an undeniable talent, is a little tricky because he's a weird personality and reportedly not a great teammate. It's among the reasons he's having to be moved out of Pittsburgh. You know, he just burnt too many bridges there with coaching staff, with the players in his locker room. So even if he and the owner are on good terms, if you're not on good terms with your coaching staff, not on good terms with your teammates, it makes it very difficult for you to be around any longer. And so Antonio Brown is on the move. He'll be catching balls for somebody else next season.
Story number three.
Matthew Morrell's father was on with Jason and John earlier today. Matthew Morrell, of course, is a class of 2020 prospect, a terrific guard, ranked top 85 in the country, according to 24/7 Sports. And to the surprise of nobody, he said that Memphis appears to be the team to beat for his son's services when he is able to eventually commit. And it's why, I've said really since the moment Penny got the job, if Memphis has prioritized a player like Matthew Morrell, like, just leave it alone.
Yeah.
If you're anybody else, you're not going to be able to get that done. Like, I know Ole Miss is recruiting him now and Tennessee is recruiting him now. Like, Kermit Davis, if you're listening, you're wasting your time. You know, Rick Barnes, if you're listening, you are wasting your time, because Matthew Morrell is not the type of prospect. And I don't want this to sound like a dig, because he is terrific. When coaches come through Memphis and start talking about players for more than a year now, I've heard nothing but great things about Matthew Morrell. He is a terrific prospect, but he's not the type of prospect Duke's going to come in on, or Kentucky's going to come in on. And unless you're Duke or Kentucky or somebody like that, trying to beat Penny Hardaway for a Memphis area kid that he prioritizes, like, literally nobody's been able to do it yet. I don't think Ole Miss is going to be the first, or Tennessee is going to be the first. And so I know the father said they want to visit, in addition to Memphis, also Tennessee, and that the recruitment is still open. When you are talking the way he was talking earlier today about Memphis already, it means that anybody else chasing this kid is just going to end up in a losing battle. It does seem a little pointless, but take your best shot if you want. Doesn't matter to me. It's not my wasted time. Either way, it appears that Memphis will, after it enrolls its 2019 class that's ranked top 15 in the country right now, it will eventually get on to a 2020 class, and we can be reasonably sure that it's going to include at least one top 100 player. That's Matthew Morrell from Whitehaven High School.
Story number four.
Tennessee Vols back on the court tonight for the first time since they got smashed at Kentucky over the weekend. And it's been interesting to watch the opinions about Rick Barnes' Vols flip so drastically in recent days. Like, right now, every day, I've got Tennessee still ranked, I think, fourth in the country in the top 25 and one. And some people now think they're overrated. Like, there's no way Tennessee's that good. And I'm like, what are you basing that on? One game? Like, I know it was not a good performance, but it's just one game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, is Michigan got smashed earlier this year at Wisconsin? Doesn't mean Michigan's not great. It means that when you play on the road against another good team, you are susceptible to getting beat by double digits. Michigan State lost by double digits earlier this year at Purdue. It doesn't mean Michigan State's not great. It means that even if you're great, if you play another good team on the road, you are susceptible to losing by double digits. Basically, everybody this year, except for Virginia and Duke and a handful of others, have gotten it handed to them on the road against quality competition at some point. And so if you'll acknowledge that it's a very normal thing that happens in the sport, I don't know why you would overreact the way people are overreacting to Tennessee's loss over the weekend, simply because it was a high-profile game that basically everybody watched or was aware that was happening. I know it just happened, so it's fresh in your mind, but trust me when I tell you, what happened to Tennessee the other night, that's a possible outcome against a top-10 team on the road for basically any team in the country, including the teams that are ultimately going to be in the Final Four at Minneapolis. So I'm still very much on the Vols bandwagon. I think they're terrific, and I imagine they'll show that to Vanderbilt later tonight. They're 18-point favorites. They'll win by about 20. Jeff Calkins is up next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Auto Parts.